This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Quitting time on your Monday, 5 o'clock here on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Trey back with you. We are eschewing the top five. Did I use that word correctly? I've always wanted to say eschew. The top five at five today, because the only subject that anybody wants to discuss this afternoon is Jeremy Pruitt's firing as Tennessee's head coach. And our first segment will be brought to you by our friends at the Craigner Group. You know, old Jeremy Pruitt might be one to give Bo Craigner a call. I think he'll be moving in the very near future. And if you're moving as well, you're going to want to call Bo Craigner at the Craigner Group and set up that free consultation today. There's a whole lot that goes into moving, and the Craigner Group is going to help you develop the game plan that'll get your home listed and sold quickly so that you and your family can find your new home and move on. Everything from locating the right home to walking you through closing and everything in between, the Craigner Group is going to show you real estate the right way. Call Bo Craigner to set up your free consultation, 865-742-1035. That's 742-1035, or just find him online at boknowshouses.com. Jeremy Pruitt, it is official.
Use Bo Craigner and, one of the attorneys. He probably used Jerry Givens' help right about now. A lot of people. He needs a lot of help.
Fired for cause today. He will not be collecting his buyout. So Tennessee gets off there. They turn around and give Parker Search Group money to help them find a new athletics director. But all this is going to be costly. Probably good you got a skilled businessman like Randy Boyd leading the ship here, because I'd imagine Tennessee is going to need a pretty big cash infusion this year. You know, it's interesting. Before the Pruitt news broke, Blake Topmeyer at the Knoxville News Sentinel had a piece online at knoxnews.com about the budget loss so far has not been quite as bad as they anticipated, but that it was bad and was going to get worse throughout the rest of the school year. And 2021 probably going to have its challenges the rest of the way, but at least you get out of the buyout. At least you get out of the buyout, and at least you'll be able to move forward and without knowing that you owe Jeremy Pruitt $12 million. Guys, I think there's a – and I kind of laid this out. That it's not my style to pat myself on the back and say I told you so. You know that me, Bear.
Yeah, you never.
But I did kind of lay this out there for you on Friday. Go back and listen to the first segment of the podcast from Friday. Kind of laid this out for you. I said, look, I think they're going to fire Pruitt, first of all, several of his coaches. And I told you, I think Philip Fulmer's going to retire. I thought they might let him like ride out the rest of the year while they do the search, but it sounds like he's going to be stepping down a little bit sooner. Told you that. And what did I tell you? Kevin Steele is going to be your interim coach, and I think there's a pretty good chance he's your interim coach for the season.
I'm not ready to go there with you yet.
Okay. I'm 2 for 2, just saying.
Not that you like to pat yourself
that's
on the
not,
back.
It's just not my style, Bear. It's not my style to hang on the rim and just kind of swing above you and taunt people below.
Uh-huh.
It's not who I am, man. I'm just a nose to the grindstone, show up every day with my lunch pail, hard hat, all that stuff. Yeah. Just kind of get after it.
You were just leading the charge on the right reverend.
let the product
speak
for itself.
Very irresponsible considering what, you know, what Trey was telling us was going on.
Go back to the phones. A momentous and historic day on Rocky Top. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. Jeff is in Seymour. Hello, Jeff.
Good afternoon, guys. Happy firing day.
I guess so, Jeff. I don't know, man. I hope it has a happy ending.
For me, a happy ending is that Big Dump gets a nice show clause for a while. I tell you, if you're going to cheat, at least don't suck at it and then suck at coaching, too.
That is the worst indignity out of all this, man, is that, you know, we'll see what the extent is. I think it's going to be pretty pervasive. I think this is going to be Hugh Freeze level. It might make Hugh Freeze look like child's play. But we didn't even have the wins to show for it. Who did we beat? Auburn? Crummy Indiana? We couldn't even beat Florida. Moose Knuckle Mullen. We couldn't even beat Kirby once. Forget Alabama. We couldn't even beat Florida. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What a
slap
in the
face. You know what gets me, too, is this. You guys got to think about this, okay? This wasn't some deal he just learned on his own. Where do you think he learned it from? It's kind of obvious, isn't it, where he learned how to, that cheating will perhaps help you out if you're a halfway decent program and know how to coach, which he does not. You know where he learned it from.
Trey has an interesting theory. Trey, would you like to share your theory on Pruitt's entry into the collegiate coaching profession and how that ties in with Brian Niedermeyer? You don't have to if you don't want
to. Yeah, Brian Niedermeyer was doing his dirty work at Alabama.
He was his assistant. Yeah.
But who was – but I think you told me this, and if I'm misspeaking, tell me. Jeremy Pruitt was Brian Niedermeyer before Brian Niedermeyer.
Yeah.
Because keep in mind, when Saban got to Bama in 07, Pruitt was not an on-the-field coach. He was coaching at Hoover High School there. And he got on as, I think he was like a special assistant or something. He wasn't an on-the-field coach. He was just some guy. And then eventually he got to coach the secondary and then – he got the defensive coordinator job. That's how he got his foot in the door, was kind of the way Niedermeyer was for him at Alabama.
So the thing about this, too, is this. He's probably shocked that this has happened, because down there, this is so common that he's used to cheating that he's like, well, what's the big deal? We did it all the time down there.
You make a good point, but the problem is Alabama knows how to do it outside the program. Tennessee does it inside the program.
That's exactly right. You couldn't have nailed that any better. I mean, really, you could not have nailed that any better. But really, you know, you start to wonder, with everything that's been going on over there, okay, for starters, why did we continue to play JG when we knew he was awful and had no business being back there? And, I mean, you got to wonder that. And what happened at halftime of the Georgia game? Because it's been all downhill ever since that game.
I'm sure there's a story in there somewhere, right? What happened at the halftime of the Georgia game? And but you're absolutely right, Jeff. It has been all downhill for Jeremy Pruitt ever since.
Great show, guys. I know you got a lot of callers, and thanks for taking my call. Y'all have a great day, okay?
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Wow. A lot to unpack there. I think, listen, I know it's fashionable to say, oh, Alabama cheats too. You know, they just get away with it and all this stuff. And listen, I think that college football is a cesspool. And I don't think necessarily that what Tennessee has evidently gotten caught doing is something that they're the only ones doing by any stretch of the imagination. And what's ironic is your new interim coach and his buddy that I think he'll try and bring up here with him come from Auburn. That, I mean, you talk about whispers, rumors, innuendo about how Auburn does things in the recruiting world. I mean, like, come on. And you hear the same things about Alabama and Georgia and Florida, too. But the trick is to be quiet about it, to be smart about it. It's not be reckless, to be careful about who you let into your inner circle. And I just don't think Tennessee was. I think Alabama, whatever they're doing down there, they've got a system set up. It's just like Kentucky and John Calipari right now. They've got a it's just a culture that's ingrained. And guys matriculate to the NFL, five stars come in to replace them. Year in, year out. And Tennessee's had so much turnover through the years. A revolving door of coaches, of athletics directors, of recruiting directors, of boosters. And nobody knows who's doing what anymore. There's no system. There's no continuity. There's no plan. And when there's no plan, guys just do whatever they want. Make it up. There's nobody overseeing them. So you got a guy like Brian Niedermeyer, young guy from Alaska, has never been, doesn't have much coaching experience, and somehow he gets in the door down there at Alabama, and Jeremy Pruitt brings him with him. Guy's never been a college coach before. All of a sudden, he's the tight ends coach at the University of Tennessee. Well, why wouldn't he go for the gusto? This is his chance. Who's Brian Niedermeyer? Like, kids aren't going to recruit to him over Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and Dan Mullen and whoever he's out there recruiting. He's going to have to do what he's going to have to do to get recruits. And I don't know. Maybe that's the way they do it at Alabama. Maybe that's the way they do it at Georgia. Maybe that's the way they do it at Florida. I don't know. But that's the point. I don't know. Because you don't hear about it. Because they're good at covering it up. Whatever it is they're doing. How many whispers did you hear about Niedermeyer and Pruitt since day one? Since day one. Literally. Go back and look at that first recruiting class. The things you heard about. Won't name names here, but certain high-profile prospects that signed with Tennessee right away out of the blue with connections to Alabama and all that stuff going on. Like, day one you heard this stuff, man. They were just sloppy. They were really, really sloppy. It's a shame. It is a darn shame. Let's go back to the phones. Phil is next. Hello, Phil.
Well, you say, Debbie?
Phil, hey, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. Just Skolkan's gone and Fulmer's gone too, huh? Wow.
It's like that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air gif where Will Smith is in the empty living room walking, looking around. Where is everybody? There's nobody over there, Phil. We cleaned house.
Yeah, and then you look at it, Johnny Major's disciple will be the next football coach. That's even more ironic.
I think he's going to be here for a while, Phil. I think that might be your football coach.
I hope not, but, you know, the way we do business, it probably will be.
I hope I'm wrong, man. I hope that Tennessee can get out of this thing quickly, that they're able to mitigate the damages from the NCAA, and that we're able to go and hire an exciting new coach with some experience that can rally the fan base and get things rolling. But I just think this guy has left a smoldering pile of wreckage behind. Phil, I don't think it's going to take some time to put out the fire and rebuild.
So how many coaches are going to be retained off the staff? Two or three?
Trey, you tell me if you're thinking what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if they let Kevin Steele be the head coach for a year, you keep Jim Chaney, and maybe without Pruitt micromanaging him and literally telling him what play to call every other play, which was happening this past year.
Practiced it or not.
Yeah, exactly. And lets Jim Chaney be Jim Chaney. then I think we would be better offensively. And Kevin Steele can manage a defense. So
they're going to hire for quarterback coach if Kevin Steele's the well, he's going to be the interim head coach. I mean, you're right. He may be here at least 1 year for sure.
I think you would let Jim Chaney be the head coach if – or, I'm sorry, the quarterback's coach. Yeah, I think that's a theory. And you keep Winky. I mean, that might be on the table.
Has Jim Chaney ever been a quarterback's coach?
No. He was tight ends coach for Drew Brees. He wasn't the quarterback coach at Georgia with Fromm. Maybe he was at Arkansas for a minute.
I want to say he coached
– he was the quarterback coach. Yeah. With Bray, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, maybe with Bray. But looking at the staff, guys, I mean, let's see. Niedermeyer's fired. T's contract ends in 11 days. Let's see. I don't expect – this is just me out loud. I don't know this to be for certain. I don't know if Derek Ansley's going to be back next year. Let's see. How many members of the staff are left? Damn, we've already ran through most of them.
Winky
might keep his job now.
Oh God!
Because the biggest thing is who the hell? I mean, you're going to bring in okay? Maybe a coach gets hired in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and you can figure out contracts through then. But,
yeah.
I mean, they got to get rid of Winky, man. That's my line in the sand. Surely he knew what was going on with this stuff. Can't we get him out of here?
He was questioned by investigators in this investigation. I was surprised that he got off, to be honest with you.
I guess he's such a bad recruiter that he didn't get involved in it.
Guy.
Well, guys, I don't know what we're going to do, but, I mean, we've got rid of the cancer. Now it's time to start, you know, repair, putting the stitches up, and hope we can do the right thing.
Phil, it's going to be a long couple of weeks here.
that's better than to have a skull can here, though.
Hey,
I'll say that.
Yeah, that's the thing. People wondered what could Tennessee do to take the 2017 coaching search, and whether obviously it ended in disaster, but you know, what could you do for an encore? How could you possibly top that? Well, we just came off a month of will they or won't they, is he staying, is he going type thing. And finally they let him go, and it's not over. We're going to have the AD search and then the coaching search. Like, if you keep Kevin Steele on an interim basis, this could be a year-long coaching search. I mean, it's insane. It is absolutely insane the way we invent new and creative ways to torture this fan base.
Let me ask Clay a basketball question. I don't know if he knows the answer or not, but I actually heard that Malachi Wideman is working out with the basketball team now. Is that true or not?
Yeah, working out is one thing. You know, he's been at 1 or 2 practices.
Oh, okay.
But you don't need Malachi Wideman.
Trying to play basketball?
You would need Malachi Wideman next year. You don't need him this year.
Think what Rick Barnes. If you're Rick Barnes, Phil, you got to be very
selective.
Well, you just got to be aware of upsetting the team chemistry at this point. Like, things are going well.
Yeah.
And no offense to the Wideman kid, but do you really want anything having to do with Jeremy Pruitt's football program coming into your basketball program right now?
I'd have him practicing and have him ready for next year because Tennessee needs somebody in there next year unless they recruit somebody. Ferguson's gone. What are we going to do from inside next year?
I'd just be making it known to the kids, like, look, we'll consider letting you practice. You're not going to get on the floor this year because we don't need you. But if you want to come, if you keep your head down and you want to practice, that's okay. But we do things differently here in this basketball program than where you're coming from. And we don't put up with half the BS and nonsense that went on over there, and if there's even a whiff of it, you're gone. Like, we don't care. So,
the big question I want to ask y'all before I get off here was it worth $12 million to serve up the NCAA to us when we got Will Wade and Buck Pearl still free and doing their deeds down there? See,
it's a great question.
Phil said that now. I've seen people say that a couple other places. This didn't start as a way of getting Jeremy to get out of the buyout.
Correct.
This started because I think it was probably multiple people, you know, tipped Chancellor Plowman's off to, you know, some stuff that was going on. And I think that, you know, they probably dug a little bit, found some dirt, dug a little bit more, found a lot more dirt. And then, you know, the more they dug, the more it came out, and it just kind of snowballed.
The first credible source, Donnie Plowman said, came in November 13th. November 13th is when they got tipped off to this.
Kind of took on a life of its own.
Right. But everybody wants to think it was put out there to fire Jeremy Pruitt. It's like, no, don't be stupid like that. It happened because you got some people inside your football program.
What'd you say, November 13th?
November 13th, a month before I reported it.
Trey, you found out pretty quickly because you shared with me, I want to say, like right around
there. Yeah. It was 3 days before Thanksgiving I first talked to you about it.
Wow. Stay
you
with
son
us.
Of a... Think how long that's been going on.
You jerks didn't tell me till December.
I'm sorry, Barry.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump in here. Bear, before we get right back to the phones, the boys here with me in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Alex Olive, Adam Hickman, they've got a question for you.
Oh, God.
Did you ever figure out who the Mr. Jingles guy on Volnokes was?
No. No, I have not. But there is a very broad investigation.
Well, me and
it's currently ongoing.
Me and Alex are about to help you out here. We're gonna get on the case as well. Hopefully we can figure this out, Bear.
What are the boys over at Volnugs saying? I'd imagine it's pretty lively over there this afternoon.
Let's check in. Hold on, just a second here, Russ. I had it pulled up.
Stop! He's got to act like he doesn't have it right in front of him, like he hasn't been hitting refresh every 2 minutes throughout the entire show. I got you. Go ahead.
No,
we'll give you that time.
I haven't.
We'll give you that time.
Well, it's my understanding that you've been in close contact with user Big Cat. He said that you had messaged him privately.
That is absolutely not true.
Huh. Well, I mean, he said you did.
Well, I mean, whose word are you going to take here, Bear? I know you're partial to the boys over at Volnugs, and
that's my crew.
I don't like to cast aspersions,
but not gonna. I don't know what you want. You want to know what some of
what's the vibe over there?
Let's see here. Here's one from
Kiffin
this guy,
Freeze.
Big Cat, apparently is Gilbert is who they want, and 95% chance he makes Steele permanent. Fire Kevin Steele, stop the steal. Pause for some hoop news. Gruden.
Yes.
Kiffin.
Yes.
I love Tennessee.
80 candidate top board. Let's see. Internal investigation.
DR Vol.
Postseason ban per CeeLo.
You're on the Drive. Good afternoon, sir.
Seriously, with this fan base, they better nip the Kiffin talk quickly.
Just go ahead, D.R. Ball. He's not going to stop. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't want to interrupt. Guys, what do you think Randy Boy and Donnie Plowman said?
Last one, D.R. Last one, then I'll shut up and let you get on with your call. Do we trust Peyton?
No, we don't.
No? We don't trust Peyton?
No, nah,
we
got
to come back to this,
man.
Russ. There's some other funny ones on there.
He did sign off on Shiano.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I'm out on Peyton. Now, what do you think Donde Plowman and Randy Boyd said to Fulmer when he bragged on Pruitt's recruiting in that press conference?
They're like, why did we bring him up here again? He's wearing a sport coat, a blazer over a quarter zip over a dress shirt. Like, why is Papaw Phil up here? That's probably what's going through her mind, I'd say.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that just boy, like Jamie said, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed, it didn't look like. Russ, I enjoyed your little thread you had of these people making fun of the fan run. I myself have bookmarked plenty. You know, they love to come after us on Facebook. They call us the fan run fanboys. And I've really enjoyed today. I've got blocked by many. The haters are really mad at y'all today.
I don't understand why. Like, we've only been right about everything. Trey broke the story. Told you everything that was going to happen, everything we said.
There's that one fan of Trey's I'd like to get to know better.
Who's the guy? Yeah, because if Trey hadn't broken the story, it never would have happened. Pruitt would still be the head coach and everything would be fine. Like, what the hell are you smoking? Like, grow up.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Who's the guy, Trey, that likes to hang out at the on campus and take pictures of the players?
Matt Daniel.
Guy's like a grown man, and he's like taking pictures of players, and the UT people are like, why is this guy over here?
He has dubbed us Rat Run Radio.
Rat Run Radio.
Into the facility.
If we didn't rat out, if Trey hadn't reported the investigation, it wouldn't have happened.
What we're calling,
it wouldn't have happened.
Is that what we're calling reporters now? Rat Run Radio. What an idiot. I mean seriously.
I love all the haters and losers, of which there are many.
That guy grew up.
Let's not.
There's lead paint on the window seal.
I have more. I've got more information on today. I actually know who the quality control guy that was fired.
Oh,
his name was Larry Harold.
Larry Harold. Scary Larry.
Larry Harold, and he was a former coach for the one Amarius Mims. And he was brought on staff.
So we tried to hire we tried to do one of those things, huh?
He was a former coach for him, had connections to him. Yes, his name is Larry. I found that out. Larry Harold was escorted out of the facility with Shelton Felton today by security.
I cannot wait for this 30 for 30, guys. It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be sad.
Yeah, you know, you had a caller in hour one. This is not a happy day. I mean, I'm glad Pruitt's gone, but, man, we're in deep doo-doo, I guess you could say. And, you know, chaos is a ladder, and unfortunately our ladder is what Clark Griswold was trying to climb to put lights on his house, man. We just can't get up that ladder.
We're hanging off the gutter right now, swinging precariously over the shrubbery.
Yeah, that's
shrubbery.
Right. Guys, before I go, and this is a serious question, you think Hugh Freeze tried to reach out after he heard the news today, and you think that Rush, your boy, Brady Hoke, sent a text? Y'all have a good day.
Should we check in with Brady Hoke?
No.
No?
I don't think we need Brady today. No.
Adam and Alex want to hear from Brady Hoke, it sounds like. John, I hope you do know I'd love to be your football coach. It's too bad, Dante, that you had to fire both your athletics director and your football coach. I know how to coach football. I've been to Tennessee. I know what it takes to win. Please hire me. I'm at San Diego State. Not only do I type in all caps, I also speak in all caps. I'm Brady Hoke. (865) 546-8200 Your number to get on the show. Nate is next. Hello, Nate.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Hey, a couple quick questions, Trey. Hopefully you don't wear what Coach Fulmer wore today during his press conference when they sit you down for your 30 for 30 interview. when you broke the story. So hopefully, maybe like a bow tie.
What did he wear? Like a bow tie. What did he wear that was so weird? Like, I was sitting like on the far right, so I'm not going to act like I could fully see it. But he had looked like a pullover and a suit.
He had a blazer jacket on, like a nice looking blazer, but he had a maybe a quarter zip or just a full zip. I don't know, like some sort of warm up jacket on underneath it. And then he had on a dress shirt underneath that.
It was an awkward, okay. It was an awkward attempt at layering for a press conference of such magnitude. I'll say that. So, Trey, journalistic extraordinaire, investigative extraordinaire. They during the press conference, they kind of touched on something that seemed a little spotty to me. Dom Day actually like spoke up so that it seemed that Phil wouldn't answer the question first. When it was asked when he knew what, when was what said, he kind of spoke up, especially when they mentioned, I forgot who asked the question, that the firm was hired on the 16th. And, you know, some of these conversations that they are speaking of, they're acting as if they happened, you know, recently as today. So I just want to see if you had any, you know, context you could add to that. And especially since it did seem like an awkward exchange there.
You can stay on. I think Dondi wanted to be out in front of this thing, in a sense of being the voice, knowing that Philip Fulmer is not going to be the voice for Tennessee athletics anymore. And I agree. Dondi Plowman took some of the questions that I think were meant for Philip Fulmer. But I think that was on purpose. And I don't blame her for that, because really, Philip Fulmer is not about to be your athletic director. Why give him the voice is the best way to put it. I mean, it was his. Okay, the best way to put it is it was his job to watch over the football program.
Yeah.
And he's in it every day. He's all around it. He screwed up. It was on his watch. So it's on Philip Fulmer, too.
I'll be interested to see what the wording is, the official wording is. Like, If it's me and I'm the University of Tennessee, and listen, longtime listeners of the show know we have the utmost respect for Coach Fulmer. He'll always be a special figure in Tennessee football history. But this is a very serious situation that Tennessee finds itself in. And if it's me, if I'm the chancellor, I'm firing everybody, man. I'm cleaning house because – like Trey said, Philip Fulmer sitting there riding shotgun, or somebody said backseat driver would be a better description of his role in football the past couple of years. He had his hands in all of this, man. He knew exactly what was going on. And when I go before the NCAA here in a couple of months, if I'm Tennessee, I want to be able to say, look, we didn't know what was happening. There's no lack of institutional control here, because as soon as we were alerted, we took this very seriously. We hired lawyers. We did an independent investigation. And when we found out what was happening, we fired everybody, including our beloved Hall of Fame athletics director. Even as much as that hurt, we did that because there is no room for that. And so I just think they're kind of playing with fire by trying to – look, man, nobody wants to see Coach Fulmer's name dragged through the mud. The simple fact of the matter is he's in charge of this ship, and it hit the iceberg, and we're picking up survivors now in life rafts as the wreckage drifts to the bottom of the ocean floor.
Yeah. Speaking of rescue, if they hired that firm on the 16th, do you think that has anything to do with maybe Feinbaum hinting at the fact that we may already have an athletic director chosen? And I mean, he was pretty blatant about that today on his show. It was less than 2 hours outside of that press conference. He's acting like Tennessee's so organized that we actually have someone already chosen and we're going to name them quickly. That would be just the opposite of what Tennessee is. You know, confident. Well,
maybe, yeah. I mean, if that's true, maybe that's a good sign. Maybe Plowman and Boyd saw this coming, said, you know what, we need to get moving on this quickly because we need to get an AD in place as soon as possible so that we're going to hire a new coach. Like, it needs to happen now. So maybe those wheels have been in motion for a while.
I'm interested to see which players aren't going to return.
Yep.
I don't know if Henry Toa Toa, comes back from California, to be honest with you.
Well, he put out a graphic that said "My Coach" with him and Coach Pruitt. So that was like right minutes after the news broke. So that doesn't sound very good.
Yeah,
a bunch of them did.
I got that for you.
A bunch of them are caught off guard. I mean,
yeah.
Well, what does it say about the way the university views you and thinks about what you've done is they won't allow you to address the team unless it's in a pre-taped video statement and they clear the language.
It's like a hostage video. I don't get it.
I get it. They don't trust him to speak to the team. You commit more violations on the way out the door. The guy's a walking disaster.
Right, yeah.
Let's get Jamie in here. Jamie, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
So, Ball for Life on Facebook put us through this crap forever. And before I even get to fire off anything, I've been suspended.
Oh, Jamie, I know that has surprising. To hurt you.
Hey, Jamie, we are going to put off your appointment. You have an appointment with the accountant at some point. Not going to make you face the music today because of, obviously, all the breaking news with Pruitt getting fired and all that. So, but just be forewarned.
Can't wait, Bear. I would pick somebody else to be my spokesperson from Chancellor, that other than the guy that thought the battle captain would be a good AD. But
you watch your mouth, punk.
Hey, you know, you guys were talking about maybe possibly running with an interim, right? How many new assistants will he have to hire, given the guys that were fired today, and the ones looking for jobs?
You'd have to hire basically a new defensive staff. Mm-hmm. Unless you can convince Ansley to stick around.
You're going to have to hire whoever it is going to have to completely rebuild the recruiting staff, which, by the way, the Sentinel just posted everybody's name who got fired today.
Ouch.
Mm. So what you're saying is if Tennessee decides to go the interim route, when they do decide to hire a new coach next year, that's that many more assistants they're going to, you know, they're going to sign 2-year contracts, because if they're going to come work for an interim, they're going to cover their butts on the way out. So that's that many more buyouts you're going to have, because a new coach is going to come in and want to bring his new staff, his own staff. So just Tennessee being Tennessee. I hope you guys quit supporting that crap, by the way. With the sound logic I just threw out there, you cannot go interim coach, because next year we're buying out 13 assistants. And you know, so, and plus you can kiss that elite class goodbye. So
there's no great solution here, Jamie. I mean, this thing has been Chernobyled so badly by this guy.
You called me crazy, Russ. I told you it was Masha, the most dangerous place on the planet.
There's no easy fix to this, Jamie. I don't think they're just the Kiffin stuff. I guess so.
What's wrong with just running out there and getting a Chadwell and saying, here, introduce our new head coach, the guy that went, 12-1 at Coastal Carolina?
Well, one, he's young and inexperienced. Two, he has NCAA issues of his own. I know. It was a rogue compliance person or whatever the narrative that's out there. It doesn't matter. Like, a program he was in charge of got hit by the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
And third, he's never had any experience at this level in a Power 5 conference.
Well, I would rather have a head coach from a smaller conference than a defensive coordinator from a big conference. I like a guy who's run the show. Guys, if Tennessee's waiting to find a guy who's squeaky clean to run this program in the SEC, well, we can just pack it up. You know, you could do like Auburn did when they hired Pearl and just hire a former compliance officer from the NCAA and follow him around. You know, like somebody like Lane Kiffin, they could go out here and hire, immediately bring you a top 10 class and sign you a top 5 next year. Just tell them, say, hey, man, you're going to have to do it clean. You're going to have to figure out how to do it clean. Or you're going to have to figure out how to do it. You're going to have to do it Saban style, where, you can cover your tracks. But if Tennessee tries to go the route of hiring somebody who's, who doesn't stink, we ain't going to compete in this conference. It's going to be Pruitt-esque. I'll say this, if we hire, Kiffin or Freeze, I'll be flying UT flags off the car, off season, in season. You won't catch me around town without a stitch of orange on. If they hire Chadwell or Napier, I'll be more than just a little bit optimistic with those two guys. If they go interim, I'm out. If they go Marone, I'm out. If they go the cat that brought Penn State back from the ashes, we think we're in the ashes. That guy that brought Penn State back, now they've got, you know, we talk about them needing to stay squeaky clean. They brought in James Franklin after all that rape stuff going on at Vanderbilt. And, you know, NCAA hadn't bothered with it, Penn State. So all you got to do is hire somebody that's going to get you back up to 10, you know, 9, 10, 11 wins a year, and the NCAA leave you alone. You know, that's, look, you don't think that there's plenty of stuff on Alabama that they know about? They're all driving down there in new cars.
Jamie, I don't disagree with your take. Historically, well, people want to say, oh, we just don't do that around here. That's just not the way Tennessee does it. Well, first of all, we've never been in this position before. We've never been this close to NCAA annihilation, basically.
Yeah.
So we don't know. And second of all, like it's a new power structure. It's Donnie Plowman and Randy Boyd, and we don't know how they're going to react. There's not much of a track record there. So we're all sort of in the unknown. I get what you're saying. If it were me, I'd say, what the hell? I'm hiring Hugh Freeze anyway.
Yep.
But it's not, and we'll have to see how they decide to play this.
Well, let me get out of the way, Russ. I really hope you guys are going to stay on. I don't know if you got to get out of the way from the next crew, but I was looking forward to a marathon with the drive. But anyway, on the way out, I'll say this. The thing that the situation that should be more important to them over there is the fourth straight bump rather than the impending NCAA, because there's fans now, you know, they jumped on board for Lane Kiffin. You know, they understood what happened. They jumped on board for Dooley. You jumped on board for Butch, and they jumped on board for Pruitt. You can't expect people just to keep on, you know, finding a reason to like a guy when you sit back and realize, hey, look, you know, we're talking about nice little staffs with Doug Marone. Is he going to compete with Saban or Mullen or Kirby Dumb? You know, that's the only question you need to be asking about potential candidates. Does he scare the living hell out of the rest of the SEC, or does he not? And, you know, in our situation, you're going to have to go a Chadwell route or a Napier route. Or Kiffin, or, like you said, Kiffin or Leach, and just say, to hell with you. You know, let's do it clean for a while till we start winning. But, guys, like I said, I was looking forward to a marathon with you guys over the weekend, but I'll take three. Y'all hang in there.
Well, we got overtime coming up next. Let the young Bucks have a chance at it. And, I don't know, we'll be hanging out on social media. Follow me on Twitter. We might do a little late night Periscope and just kind of recap the day. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at the law offices of Jerry R. Givens. Folks, if you need a lawyer, this is my guy. He can be your guy as well. Whether you're going through a bankruptcy, a divorce, a personal injury situation, or a criminal case, he can help you out. Visit jrglawtn.com. As always, with the law offices of Jerry R. Givens, the phone call is free, the advice is free, so what do you have to lose? Call 865-801-9250 to set up your free, no-obligation consultation today. Again, Jerry's number, 865-801-9250. The law offices of Jerry R. Givens, legal expertise you can rely on. Stay with us. The drive continues. Back to wrap things up after this. All right, real quick before we get back to the phones, Willie, hang right there. What do you think? David says, I make Mark Richt turn down $8 million a year, 6-year deal. It would take at least 10 no's before I give up. He checks all the boxes, and his integrity is unquestioned.
I mean, Mark Richt, I thought he had a heart attack recently. I think he's retired, dude. Pretty sure he had a heart attack.
My first phone call there, and this is just my first phone call, make him say no, is to an Oxford area code.
That would be mine.
I was told 3 weeks ago he would take the job. 3 weeks ago.
But now, Trey, you're going to do is you're going to put it out there.
Listen to me, though. I'm saying 3 weeks ago before he knew of all the stuff that was going on at Tennessee.
Guys.
He ain't coming here.
We're not going to hire Lane Kiffin again. What are you doing? Both of you.
No.
I mean, he's not going down that road again. He already did that deal with USC, went in there, and they got put on probation, and then he got, you know.
This is the same guy who literally, and I know that's an overused word, but he was in the ballroom in Indianapolis during our NCAA thing. People forget that. He left us on probation. We didn't get the book thrown at us, but we got hit because of violations that occurred under his watch. He's only here for 10 months, and he went up to the NCAA. Barry, you've heard this. We have the same source on this. He literally, in that meeting, in the ballroom, thumbed his nose at them. He's like, yeah, I don't care about you guys.
Okay, Russ.
That's a good point, Russ.
Chris Lowe sitting here throwing it out there. If I'm the Vols, you certainly call and see if our buddy Lane Kiffin is interested. I bet he'd listen. I'm not saying Lane Kiffin is interested, but knowing him, I bet he would.
What are you doing, Chris Lowe?
He is all over the train. He also says about Lane Kiffin, from a Tennessee standpoint, why do you not call and make that pitch? I think you'd be foolish not to. He's certainly kicking the tires for.
What the hell is Chris Lowe? You sure that's not a burner account or a fake account?
He's on the 3HL right now.
Chris Lowe, why are you pouring gasoline on the fire? That's our job.
Let's go.
That's our job. You're supposed to be the serious one. Cease and desist.
To give Lane credit, Russ, he did bamboozle those people in that ballroom.
Willie is next. Hello, Willie. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Well, I heard Chris Lowe on Feinbaum today drinking Kevin Steele's bath water, trying to get him the job. But anyway, I thought Bear might enjoy this. I heard a whole Basilio talking over there today that they ought to take Fulmer's box away from him. They ought to take his parking spot away from him. And that damn guy, I had one of my best friends watched him walk into to his daughter's AAU basketball game at Russ Strong Middle School down over here in Strawberry Plains and refused to pay $3 to get in the game because he claimed he wasn't paying to get in there because he was the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. And you think you're going to get a slob like that to pay his way in a Tennessee football game?
Hey, I want my athletics director to be frugal, Willie. I don't look at that as a negative.
Hey, some little sawed-off peckerhead.
Oh!
Oh! Willie. You're on a roll, too.
That? What are you doing? All right, Marcus is going to be our final caller of the evening. Marcus, we got a minute or two. Go ahead. Marcus, you there? No, there he is.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. I just want to say, I know I don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm with you, Russ. I think Steele's going to be our coach next year. The only reason I believe that is because you just bring in this guy who doesn't know any of the players except for this transfer. And he's the one who's going to talk to them about this whole situation with everybody. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, why would any of those players listen to someone who's not been there with them for the year?
Well,
you know, I just
I'll got an answer for that. Well, number one, he was defensive coordinator at Auburn. He's probably, I would imagine, recruited or has met a lot of the defensive players on the team when he was at Auburn, and he's got a lot of credibility.
Well, and he is a Vol. Like, he played here. So, to me, if you're pitching and recruiting as an interim coach is going to be – I don't want to say it's impossible, but got to be darn close to it. You probably want somebody who had the experience that you're selling. It's like, look, yeah, I don't know who the coach is going to be here, but I know this is a great place. It's in the SEC. It's a huge stadium. It's a great education, great people, great area of the country, great place to – like, you're just going to have a good experience here no matter what. I would imagine it's more genuine coming from somebody who actually lived it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I just want to thank you guys once again. Friday's gone. It's a tough day for Tennessee, but I want to thank Trey once again for doing all of his hard work that he did because he brought out the job and what he has to do to try to help this program in the long run. I know it's a dark day, but that's not on him. That's on this coaching staff for doing the wrong thing. So appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Marcus. Appreciate the phone call. Guys, what a day. Parting thoughts. Trey Wallace and then Bear. Anything?
A bad day for University of Tennessee, but at the same time, at least you figured out your problems now and got rid of them before it got even worse. And a new chapter of Tennessee football begins tomorrow. We're going to have a lot to talk about. And appreciate you guys. Love you. Thanks for support. And I'll be up all night. So look forward to talking with y'all later.
Bear, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I'd like to announce that pay attention and follow me at BearWKGN on Twitter. I will be joining one Christopher Gabriel coming up soon.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And real quick, all my mouth-breathing sycophants, and I love you guys. I really do. Lay off Chris. He's one of our best guests.
I've got just one thing to say on the way out the door.
What's that? Get the hell out of here, Russ.
Good night, guys.
Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the Books. Overtime coming up next from 6 until 8. We do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.